Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good to see you. Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church this morning. Glad everybody could make it out. If you happen to be visiting with us for the first time or just hadn't given us any information before, look in the pew in front of you. It ought to be a visitor's card you can fill out, put an offering plate when it comes around a little bit later in the service. We'd love to have some of your contact information and maybe any prayer requests you have, and give us opportunity to follow up and get you some more information about the church. But again, we thank you for joining with us this morning. If you'd look in your bulletin, I do have a couple things I'd like to mention, just to highlight. We do have a quarterly business meeting this Wednesday night at 6:30. On Saturday, April the 9th, the children are having an Easter get-together. There's actually an insert in your bulletin about it. It'll be from 11 to 2. It's going to be lots of activities, face painting, crafts, bouncy house, games, and, of course, Easter egg hunt. And times are in there for the different Easter egg hunts. Let's see. Tabby's got a insert. It's for Golden Saints, ages 60 and up. Bingo happening also on April the 9th at 5 p.m. out at Heritage Point. And so they'd love to have you attend. And still looking for volunteers for the nursery. And there's some information on the back of your bulletin for how to sign up and check who signed up for the upcoming weeks and that kind of thing, and look for spots you could get yourself in. But that's certainly a help and an important ministry in our church. Now, if y'all would, please bow with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for today, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather and beautiful weekend you've given us, for getting us up and out of our homes, getting us to church this morning. Just, Lord, that we could see each other, fellowship with one another, fellowship with others who love Christ, Lord. Thank you for that. Ask that you'd prepare our hearts and minds for the message you have for us this morning. Things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our call to worship this morning is Still, and it's rather new. So the choir's going to sing the first verse, and then if you'll stand and join in singing both verses with us. An oldie but goodie is 456, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We're going to sing the first verse, the second verse, and then come back with the first.
Let us pray. Dear wonderful Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the sunshine, and we thank you, Father, for this wonderful church for us to come to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for getting us out today, and Lord, we pray that you just be with us as we hear the pastor's sermon. Lord, help us to put it to good use this week. Dear Father, we thank you for these blessings that you've given us, and Lord, help us to pass these along in the offering plate, Lord, so that we can do your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's nice to see you all this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to the 6th chapter of John. We started there last week, and we're still in chapter 6 this week. So if you'll turn to chapter 6, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. But then you can't underline stuff or make notes. So I'm going to give y'all just a second, and then I'm going to open us up in prayer. All right, let's pray. Father God, we come now to the time in the service where we focus on your word, and Lord, we look for ways that we can apply it to our life and truths that we can pull out of it. I pray, Father, you would be with us now and you would help me to say things that are true, help me to say them accurately and clearly. God, I pray that you would open all of our hearts and our minds to the things that are in your word, but most of all, Father, we pray that this time would bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you weren't here last week, it was the story where Jesus takes the loaves of bread and the fish and he works the miracle and feeds thousands of people all at one time with just that little bit of food. And when the story starts, Jesus gave the disciple Philip a test. Everybody was coming up and they were hungry. And Jesus said, you know, how are we going to feed all these people, Philip? And Philip said, we don't have enough money for that. And so we looked at the miracle and what Jesus was trying to communicate and trying to teach his disciples. And we're going to continue in the chapter now. But before we do, I have to tell you what's been going on this weekend. So I basically made my wife go on vacation with some friends this weekend. Had to make her go. Hopefully she had a good time. But they don't have any reception there at all. So it's been like radio silence. I know they don't have any reception because she hasn't been texting me every 5 minutes checking on the boys. Before she left, you know, she was worried that either the boys would starve to death or I'd feed them fast food the entire weekend. So she took me into the kitchen. She goes, look, I went to the grocery store. Look here in the fridge. Here's this, here's that. And she pulled out a thing of soup. She goes, this is soup. And I went, oh, I've never heard of this. And, you know, she pulls up a bag. She goes, this is cheese. And I said, she goes, this is for the top of the soup. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to feed the boys. They'll be fine, okay? And she said, when I come home, I'm going to check. I will look at our bank account. I will know if you ate fast food every meal. And I'm like, okay. The reason that she is like that is because I am a horrible, terrible cook. Not like in a joking way, like, oh, I'm a bad cook, but like really, I'm really bad at making food. Before we got married, I used to tell the kids in the youth group that I pretty much lived off of peanut butter crackers before we got married. And I think one thing that really stays in her mind is this thing that happened before we got married. I was renting a duplex, so there was, you know, me, bachelor, single guy on one half of it, and on the other half was this lady who was in her 70s. And the duplex had this, you know, big, tall cabinets for food and stuff like that. Just way more cabinets than a single guy needs, especially one who doesn't cook or keep really ingredients or anything. But anyway, so when I would go to the grocery store, I would get food, and then I thought, okay, I guess I'll spread it out. So I'd put it all over the cabinets and the fridge and stuff like that. And sometimes I'd lose track of stuff and things like that. And then this thing happened one day. I came into my house, and it smelled bad. And I when I start smelling something, I upset, you know, something burning. What is that? What is that smell? So I'm going all over the house and I'm looking. I keep smelling something and I track it down and it's in the kitchen. I'm going, what is that smell? And I open the fridge. There's like nothing in the fridge but ketchup and bologna. Okay, it's nothing in the fridge. Open the freezer. There's ice and frozen pizza. It's nothing in there. And I'm looking. I open the cabinets and I'm filling. And at the top of one of the cabinets, I felt a plastic bag, and I thought, what is this? So I pulled it. Months earlier, it had been full of potatoes. Now, I did not know that potatoes went bad. Okay? Just full disclosure, I told you I don't cook a lot. So I pulled this bag down, and I guess the top was open, and these potatoes had liquefied. It was like soup. And so when I pulled the bag, the potatoes kind of just went all over me. Now, let me tell you something about myself. Blood, guts, broken bones, I'm fine. If one of y'all fall and bust your head, I've got you. I can help you. But when something stinks, I mean, every single time that I have ever tried to change a diaper, I either dry heaved or threw up, usually threw up. So I pulled this bag down, and this horrible, stinking potato just went boom all over me. And so I went, oh, you know, what is this? And immediately I started dry heaving because I could smell it, and I was, you know, and so I don't know why, I started taking my clothes off. I said, I got to get it off me. And so I guess I was making a racket because the little old lady who lived next door, she walks around to my side of the duplex and knocks on the door, and we've got windows, and she goes, are you okay? And I'm standing there in my boxers, and I went, oh, you know, she goes, are you okay? And I went, potatoes, you know. So, like, when I say that I'm not good with food, I really am not good with food. And I bet that all weekend while she was trying to text me and couldn't, Rachel's thinking, are they eating? Are my children well? And that's one of the things she would think about. Now, it's connected to this morning because Jesus is going to talk about some other kinds of food that spoils and goes bad. So y'all didn't know how this was going to connect. Let's start at verse 25, okay? It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. So like I mentioned last week, was a story of Jesus feeding all these people in the miraculous way. And so he feeds them, they have a great time. And the next morning they wake up and their bellies are rumbling and they're hungry. They go, let's find the magical bread man. Let's find Jesus. And he's not there. So they track him down. And this would be kind of discouraging to Jesus. It would be a little bit frustrating because he's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's here to do all these wonderful things for him. And what are they looking for? They just want some bread. They've got this glorious, you know, God incarnate person. They don't know that yet in front of them. And Jesus has come to work in their lives and to change them and to offer salvation. And they're just kind of like, hey, you have any more of that bread that you made yesterday? That's what they're thinking about. And so in the verses, Jesus tells them, don't seek food that perishes, but work for food that lasts, you know, into eternal life. And so you picture these people, if they're like me, when they get up, they're ill. Until they eat some food, they might have been ill, hangry, and they track Jesus down. He wasn't really close when they had to go and find him. And so they just want some food. They just want some bread. And here Jesus is talking about, you know, find food that doesn't perish. Look for bread that lasts until eternal. It would have all been super confusing to them, and they might not have even cared what he was talking about. They're just there wanting a handout. They want some bread. But that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So when Jesus talks about bread that perishes, food that perishes, or food or bread that lasts until eternal life, what is he talking about? I mean, if we've read this a bunch of times, we grew up in church, we think, well, that's pretty obvious, Jacob. But if you were there, you would be going, what? But bread that lasts into eternity, what are you talking about, Jesus? It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to them. Well, just so you know, he's not really talking about food. He's talking about the things that they focus on, the things that they work towards. You know, for those specific people, it was food because they were hungry at the time. But the wider application, it's not just talking about what you're going to eat for, you know, lunch after church. It's talking about the things that you seek, the things that you spend your time on, the thing that you put your effort into. Don't seek things that are going to spoil. Seek and work towards things that will last into eternity. Does that make sense? The pollen's killing me. So there's lots of things that could fill that gap, but basically anything that is temporary, anything that can fall apart, anything that can be taken from you, that's food that perishes. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Some people are really, really into building up a big name. It's really important to them that Everybody knows who they are. Everybody thinks that they're a big deal. And so a lot of the decisions that they make in their life, they'll base on, will this put me in the right crowd? Will people look at me a certain way? If I do this, if I do that, will everybody at work think that I'm a big deal? Look at me. That's temporary. It will not last. I don't care who you are, how big a deal you are. There's going to come a point where that's going to fade away, and you might think, I don't know, Jacob. I'm a pretty big deal. My parents were a pretty big deal. You know, if I do this, people will remember me a really long time. Look, most of the kids at the high school cannot name half the U.S. presidents. Now, you might be a big deal, but you're not a bigger deal than the president. Any president, pick your favorite, whichever one. If half the kids at the school can't name half the presidents, how long do you really think that your name is going to last? Does that make sense? How long is it going to be before you are forgotten? And you might think, well, I won't care. I'll be dead then as long as I'm a big deal now. Let me tell you something else. I've done a lot of work at rest homes. There are some people that are forgotten before they pass away. And so let me encourage you, do not spend all of your time and effort and resources building up your name, because it will not last. The next thing I thought about was, you know, chasing money. Okay, look, money's not a bad thing. When I pay the rent this month, I'm going to use money. And when I go to the grocery store, when Rachel lets me, I'm going to use money. But money is just a tool. It's a tool that we use to get things done. But for some people, it's more than that. Their decisions revolve around, how can I get the extra dollar? How can I acquire more money? How can I do this? How can I get that? How can I enlarge my savings, my bank account? That money is not going to last either. My dad came over yesterday, and we were, you know, talking and eating breakfast, and, you know, we were both kind of in Archie Bunker mode. And so he's at that point where he's almost old enough to retire. Like, he's not old, but he's old enough where he's like, man, I got to make sure my stuff's together, you know, because he wants to retire one day. And he was fussing. He was going, well, you know, I got this much in my retirement, and I don't know if that's enough because, you know, the market's doing this and that and everything. And he was saying, you know, why is it waiting until now when I'm fixing to retire to have the worst inflation that we've had in 30 years? Like, the money that my dad has in retirement is not worth as much today as it was a year ago. Think about that. You can spend your entire life acquiring money, and one, you know, administration, one politician, whatever, or one catastrophic world event, or one crash, and then it's gone. Or it's not worth as much. Or maybe somebody sues you. Or maybe you have to pay medical bills. Money can be taken away. It sure seems not to last sometimes, right? But on a whole other level, sometimes it's just not worth as much. Don't spend your life obsessing over and chasing something that is so fragile. Some people, you know, maybe it's not money, maybe it's not their name, maybe it's their children. Every waking moment is put upon their kids. And some of you are thinking, well, wait a minute, that sounds like a good thing, Jacob. We should put our kids first. You should be a good parent. I don't know that you should always put them first. We have some kids, and they would be a lot better off if they saw their parents putting something before them. Your world should not revolve around your kids. Material possessions, they don't last. My favorite things, if you go to my house and you find the thing that I treasure the most, that's the most important to me, one day that's going to be in a landfill or a dump. I have things in my house right now that I think are really, really cool that I'm never going to give up. If it was up to Rachel, they'd be gone. Okay, look, if I die next week, after she recovers, Rachel's going to go, well, at least I can get rid of this. You know, you can't take those things with you. No, it's true. You can't take those things with you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where the moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Luke 12:15, and he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." These are just some examples. There's tons of things, and your thing might not be on this list. My thing's not on this list, but we all have things that kind of try to draw our attention away from what's important. We all have things that kind of try to direct our focus. The other week, and I'm going to give you an example. The other week, I went to a convention, and it was in Reno, Nevada. Let me just let you know, the West Coast is not for me. I don't plan on moving out there. But we had to stay in this hotel. It was a really nice hotel, and at the bottom of the hotel, they had a casino, okay? And so I'd never been in one before, and I didn't, don't worry, I didn't plan on going and gambling a bunch of money. But I'd never been in one. I thought, well, okay, that might be neat. I want to walk around, just look and see what it's like, you know, and maybe just to mess with my mom, I'll get somebody to take a picture of me at the slot machine. I'll send her that picture. But here's what I thought it was going to be like. I thought there'd be lots of loud noises and flashing lights and all kinds of stuff distracting you. And I thought it would be full of really happy people. And I thought there would be like ladies walking by with food on trays. I don't know why I thought that. I guess that's from a movie. And so at one point during the week, I walked down there just to like look at it, see what it was like. And there were a lot of flashing lights and there were a lot of noises. There were no ladies walking around with food. That was disappointing. But you know what else there wasn't? There wasn't any happy-looking people. I thought that I would go down there and there'll be people who were just having like the time of their life, wasting their money, playing cards on slot machines or whatever. I mean, I thought that whether you liked gambling or not, I thought that I would walk down there and they would look really happy. But they didn't. It was weird. I walked down there and I kind of walked kind of on the outside, and everybody in that place looked miserable. Nobody looked happy. I saw this one lady who was sitting there, and she was smoking a cigarette, because in Reno you can smoke inside. And she just looked like she was having the worst time. And so I was like, I don't like this. I'm not even going to mess with it. So I left, and a couple of hours later, I came back because I had to walk by there, and the same lady was sitting. She hadn't moved. You know, and I'm thinking, God, that was 3 hours ago. But these people were in there. They spent all this time and spent all this money, and they looked miserable. And here's the application. There's a lot of people who go through life down here, and there's all these things that blink and flash and these loud noises that will draw y'all's and my attention and make us look over there. And, you know, a lot of people spend time and resources and money on things that we think are going to make us happy, that we think are going to fulfill us. But really, we're just sitting there like that lady at the slot machine. And I wondered at the time, does she know how miserable she looks? Is she having a good time? And then I got to thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, I bet a lot of us are the exact same. We waste our time and our money and all that type of thing, our affections, on things that are not really making us happy. And some of us know that we're miserable, and some of us don't. And I think that there's a lot of people who end up on their deathbed. And just like folks, I mean, to be sure, folks walk out of casinos and go, man, I wish I had not spent so much money here. I wish I had not spent so much time here. There's a lot of people, and I've been around some, who have lain on their deathbed and said, I wish I had not spent so much time on that. I wish I had not spent so much money on that. That was not as good a time as I thought it was. And so when we go through life, we want to look at where are we spending all of our focus? Where's all of our attention? Are we working towards things that are going to perish, that can be taken away, that can fall apart, that can break down? Or are we working towards this stuff that Jesus is talking about? So let's get on to the good stuff. Let's talk about what Jesus is offering. Okay, so what is he offering? We got to figure this out. Look in your Bibles at verse 27, okay? Verse 27, I think, gives us the best hint, because Jesus says that the Son of Man himself is going to give us this eternal food, this eternal stuff. So we know that it comes from Jesus, and we know that it's eternal. It's going to last forever, okay? So look at verses 28 and 29. It says, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent.'" So these people, they're trying to understand, and they don't want to work on stuff that's going to spoil that Jesus is talking about. So they say, okay, you know, what do we have to do? And Jesus says, "Believe in the person that God has sent." And they still don't seem to be getting it. So they're standing there, they're talking to Jesus, and if you keep reading in the chapter, they're asking all these questions, and Jesus is talking to them, and he starts talking about different kinds of bread. He talks about, you know, bread from the Old Testament, like manna, and then he's talking about a different kind of bread. And I don't know whether the folks were just really excited or sick of hearing him talk about something they didn't understand. And so in verse 34, it says, "They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.'" Give us this bread that you're talking about. And so, Jesus has them right where he wants them. He's got a captive audience. They're listening. They want what he's offering. Maybe they're excited about what he's talking about. They say, "Give us this bread." And look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And so Jesus is saying, don't waste your time working for stuff that's going to spoil. Don't waste your time for bread that's not going to last. And they're saying, "What is this bread? Give us that bread. Give us the good bread." And Jesus says, I am the bread. Now, don't you know that everybody that was standing there went, this has really been a, I don't think he's going to feed us. Now, you Bible scholars, I want you to underline where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." This is the most important thing that we've gotten to so far in the Gospel of John. Here's what's going on, okay? When you go through the New Testament, there's not a whole lot of times where Jesus says, "This is who I am. This is what I'm about." Now, ever since he worked his first miracle, everybody else has been saying, "This is who I think Jesus is. This is what I think Jesus is about." And even up until today, you can ask any person to say, "Well, Jesus is this, Jesus is that." You can go to this seminary and they'll say that. And you can talk to this stranger. And I'll talk to a guy in downtown Sanford who had some wild, weird beliefs about Jesus. So when Jesus himself says, "This is who I am," when Jesus describes himself, we should listen, right? And I'll tell you something else. Jesus is being sneaky here. You see, all through the Gospel of John, there's these things called the seven I am statements. Seven different times Jesus says, "I am this." And this is the first time. And you think that he's just saying, "This is who I am. This is what I'm about." But he's really being sneaky, because what he's doing is he's referencing something from the book of Exodus. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. This is when Moses is talking to the burning bush. Remember this story? Moses is there, and God is sending him to Pharaoh, and Moses is freaking out, going, "How is this going to work? What am I going to do?" And Moses goes, if I go to them, what God am I supposed to say that I'm coming on behalf of? How will they know that I'm coming from you? Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am sent me to you." And so as we go through the Gospel of John, seven different times Jesus is going to be talking to people, saying who he is. And all they hear is bread of life. But the really important part is where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He's being sneaky. He's being sly. Who is he really saying that he is? What he's really saying is, "I'm God, and I'm the bread of life." And I don't want to give any spoilers away, because we're going to be in John for like a year probably. But again and again, I don't know why y'all are laughing. And again, Jesus is telling people, "I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. The whole Gospel of John, he's telling people, I am God. And here he's saying, I'm God, and I'm the bread that you can work towards that's not fragile. I'm the bread that can't be taken away. I'm the bread that doesn't rot. I'm the bread that's going to last into eternity. You see, there's all these things that can demand and distract our attention, our focus, but what we were made to focus on, literally what God designed each and every one of y'all to do, was to focus on Jesus Christ. And so while everything else that this world has to offer eventually is going to get old and won't make us happy and won't fulfill us, when we turn our attention and our focus to Jesus Christ, who we were made to focus on, he's not some slot machine that's going to bore you. You will never get tired of Jesus Christ. You'll never get enough of him. You'll never go, all right, I'm done with this. He never gets old. And each day that you spend with him, every time that you spend time talking to him, growing closer to him, you just want more and more and more. And it's because that's what you were designed for. God made you for that. Okay, let's keep going. So in verse 27, it says that Jesus is going to give us some food that won't go bad, and it's coming from him. So I guess the next question will be, what exactly is he going to give us? Christ said it's coming from him. It's going to last forever. It's eternal. But what is it? Okay, it's not really bread. What is he offering? I can preach here every single Sunday, and I'm never going to get to cover all of it. That's how much there is to your relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at a passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a pretty good starting point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. It says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I wish I had one of those like overhead projectors that teachers use in the 90s so I could circle stuff in this passage and show it to you. But right here, look at some of the things that Christ gives you. The first thing, we do not lose heart. When you're a believer, when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, regardless of what happens down here, regardless of what happens to you, you have a hope. Not a flimsy, not a fragile hope, but an indestructible hope that can withstand any junk this world has to throw at it. No matter what happens to you in this life, you know, I have a Savior. I know where I'm going. No matter how bad things get, the Lord God Almighty, creator of the universe, holds me in his hand, and nothing is going to happen to me without his permission. And I know that God has me. Regardless of what happens here, I'm going to spend eternity with him. We have a hope that cannot be washed away. That's the first thing that we get from the Lord God. Look at the second part. Our inner self is being renewed. This might be my favorite, and we've talked about this. When you become a believer, when Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, that's not it. You're not done. You don't just get your fire insurance and you're good to go. No, no, no. Jesus takes you, and he starts to form you and shape you. He starts smoothing out some edges that are sharp and prickly, and he starts changing the way you see things and your priorities and what you want to do. The longer that you walk with Christ, the closer he's going to pull you to him, and the more like him you're going to become. When you're a believer, you have this indestructible hope, and then you have the creator of the universe, God, basically taking you and cleaning you up and polishing you off and forming you into what he wants you to be. God's working on you. And then this last part, look in verse 17, it says, we are being prepared for a glory that is beyond all comparison. Anything that happens to us in this life, God is using to change us and to prepare us for a glory that we can't even comprehend. And you think, what is that? What does that look like? Well, we can't comprehend it. But I think it involves spending eternity with a perfect and holy and righteous and loving God. Whatever happens down here is going to be nothing compared to spending eternity in God's presence, spending eternity with our Lord and our Savior. And some of you that have walked with Jesus longer than others, doesn't that sound better and better the longer that you've been with the Lord? It's going to be marvelous. We can't even comprehend how amazing it's going to be. Somebody asked me, well, maybe if the Bible talked more about heaven, you could get more people to go there. No, it's going to be so amazing that the Bible can't even explain it to us. That's how amazing it's going to be. And so that's just a starting point. But these things, all of these things are worth more and more beautiful and more worthy of your time and affections and all of that than anything that this world has to offer. Just those things. But there's so much more to your relationship with Christ. And if you're sitting here this morning, you go, that sounds great. I would like that. I would like those things. I don't feel like I have an indestructible hope in my life. My mood, my emotions, my joy go up and down based on my circumstances. I wish I had a rock of hope that no matter what was going on, I knew that it was going to be okay because the Lord was in control. Or maybe you hear the part about being renewed day by day and you're like, you know, I'm not my favorite person. I wish that God would pick me up and clean me off and begin to mold me. Or maybe the idea of spending eternity in glory with God, you hear that and you think, gosh, that would be wonderful. And you think that you would like that. You'd like to have a part of that. How does that happen? Well, Christ has already told us. Look back in verse 29 of this chapter. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. If you want a part of that, the first thing that happens is you believe in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You make Him your Lord and Savior. And then all these other things are going to start falling into place. If you're here this morning and you've heard me talk about all these things that draw our attention away, that take our focus away, and you think, I've been wasting my time on a lot of junk. I'm just going to encourage you to, where you are, you can pray, Lord, draw my focus back to you. Lord, I've been distracted. Draw my focus back to what really matters, what I was made to pay attention to. Help me to focus on you, God. And if you're here this morning, you're like, I haven't taken that first step. I've not made Jesus my Lord and Savior. I would love for you to come and talk with me about that. And in just a second, Pats and Sherry are going to lead us in an invitational hymn. I would love to talk with you.